Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Self-Help Podcast. I'm Dani Moreno.
And I'm MK Sullivan. And originally we had planned to do a recap in the intro with our episode where we interview Francesco. But after watching the Calimoto Sky Race this weekend, we had to get Sarah and Julia on the pod to talk about their insane race. So we're doing a quick little last minute full episode.
Yeah, we are so stoked that this battle is getting so much attention, as it rightfully should. Personally, I was nail-biting. MK was nail-biting watching this battle go on for pretty much the whole second half of the race, so 90 minutes. But yeah, you can hear it from their mouths, what their strategy was, their nutrition plans, etc. Thanks to everyone who submitted questions. I think we got nearly all of them in there. But yeah, the Calimoto Sky Race was the second race of the Sky Runner World Series this year. The next race will be May 4th, Sky Mathessines in France. But this race was roughly 27.5K, so 16.5 miles with 2,270 meters of ascent. For those American listeners, that's a roughly 6,500 feet of vert. So it was very, very punchy. This was mostly in three climbs, but they also had a last climb, which Sarah briefly touches upon.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't listened already and you haven't watched the race, maybe go listen to our preview from last week, watch the race, which we will put in our show notes again because the live stream is on YouTube. If you have time, at least go watch the last 90 minutes of the race because it was so good.
Yeah. And honestly, the Skyrunner World Series told us that this race has some of the best announcers, and I couldn't agree more. I know a little bit of Spanish, so I could pick up some like every other four or five words, but just hearing their energy and enthusiasm was, you know, it just was really great, I thought.
Yeah, and Sarah Alonso could not race last year, and so she was actually one of the commentators last year, which I feel like we missed out on that a little bit, but yeah. I guess it was pretty cool to watch her race too.
Yeah, no, definitely. The race delivered as far as results go. The Spanish women who we called out in our Subhub headlines, which is our monthly newsletter, back at it again, crushing. They went 1 through 4, so they are definitely the dominant force right now in the Skyrunner World Series. Sarah Alonso ended up breaking her old course record by 30 seconds. She ran 2:59.08. And then Julia Font barely missed out on being under that course record as well. And she ran 3 hours and 42 seconds. So yes, they were very close. Sarah runs for ASICS. Julia runs for Brooks Trail Runners. There also was Naira Irigoyen. I don't know what this team actually is. A4XKM, but she was third in 3:09.30. We had Lide, who was the winner from Acantilados del Norte. She came in a strong fourth, 3:09.43. They were also very close. That's only 13 seconds. Wow. And then we had Holly Page from Adidas Terex, who's from the UK. She ran 3:11.49. And she is an overall champion, I believe, from 2019. So it was nice to see her back out there.
Yeah, definitely. I know she's been battling some injuries the last couple of years, but and then the men's side, not to say that it wasn't as exciting, but it wasn't as exciting. Roberto pretty much took the race out from the gun and like never saw anyone again. The women started 30 minutes before the men, and Roberto actually ended up catching the women with like 2 or 3 miles to go, which was kind of crazy.
He was flying. Passed them, it's like, what was that? Oh, that was Roberto.
Tommy was like, is he up front now? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's him, like, that just, like, flew past them. But so he ran an insane race. The previous course record by Antonio was 2:39. Roberto ran 2:25, so he broke it by 14 minutes. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. He won the race by almost 10 minutes. But then the top six men also broke the previous record. Like, Antonio was second, and he still broke his old course record by 4 minutes, or yeah, almost 4 minutes, a little bit around there. And he was like, we never saw him. Like, the live commentators pretty much were on the women's race most of the time because Roberto was just like out front.
Yeah, Antonio did have a really strong race in the sense that at the beginning of the race, he was in like 9th or 10th after the first climb, and then just like crushed the rest of the way. But Roberto just already had such a big lead that it didn't matter at that point. But yeah, so good day for Brooks and Asics. I mean, Brooks went first with Roberto and then second with Julia, and then Antonio Perez second for Asics. Sierra got first. So great showing for them.
And then in third, we have Luca Del Perro from Team Scarpa in 236.55. Fourth, Mario Sancha with Team Independent, 237. And in fifth, Sebastian Poisey, Brooks Trail Runner also. I'm probably saying your last name wrong. I'm so sorry. 237.29. So pretty cool day out at Colomoro. I've never watched that race before. I'm glad that we did because, yeah, those... That boulder climb, Sarah mentions that she like accidentally stopped her watch on the first climb because you're like literally scrambling on your hands and knees. And so her wrist just like caught the button and so goofy. And then, first U23 race of the year. We mentioned that in the preview. And so our first U23 winners of the season are Miguel Benitez and Alba de Mendiola Goitia Diaz.
Yeah, bear with us. I think that was a great job, though. Okay,
thank you. That is a long name.
I will say, I think for Mario, who got fourth, I think independent, like he's independent, like he doesn't have a team.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as, you know, this conversation, again, the Spanish women dominated the female side. But on the men's side, it was kind of a mix. We had Switzerland, Spain, Italy, Spain, and France. I am curious with the next race, since these first two are, you know, Canary Islands and Spain, if with the next two being in France, if we'll start to see more French athletes starting to show up. But yeah, our conversation with Sarah Alonso, winner and now current course record holder, representing Asics and Spain, and then Julia Font representing Brooks Trail Runners, second with an insane battle. We hope that you enjoy their conversation.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Never Second. Never Second uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. And if you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com, NEVER2.com, and use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders. We are here with Sarah Alonso and Julia Font, our winner and runner-up at the Colomoro Sky Race this last weekend. You guys gave us a very exciting race to watch. So we're hoping to just kind of catch up with you guys, see how you're feeling, how the race went, and get people into this Colomoro Sky Race event.
Hello, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you. Yeah, so let's start with the race itself. I'm curious what makes this race special and why you both included it on your calendar. Julia, do you want to go first?
Okay. Hi, Anne. It's a pleasure to be here. I put the Colomoro in my calendar because the final of Sky Running is a very is a big objective this year for me.
And for me, I did this race 2 years ago, and last year I went also to do the speaker of the race. So it's a special place that the Colomoro organization for them is important to be me there, and I was thinking to go or not, but finally I enjoyed a lot 2 years ago, so I was thinking I should go and do an international race before the big goals of the year, so I start the season with this race.
Can you guys describe the race atmosphere for us a bit?
The race is in the south of Spain, really close to the beach, but when you think in the south of Spain, all the people think in the beach or in the foot, but there is a really big mountains there and a lot of people cheering. It's a warm weather, being on April, And it's interesting and really for me technical race.
Yeah, for me too, it's a really sky running and it's not very technical, but there are some sections very technical, and I think that it's a good race that a runner have to be in the race, because it's nicer, because there are a lot of people in the circuit and sharing, and I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, it looks like there's people spread out over the entire course, which is really exciting considering the terrain. And you said it was semi-technical. How would you compare this, Julia, to other Skyrunner World Series races?
I did acantilados and it's very different because acantilados, it's the terrain, it's there are more rocks, but they are different because this terrain, Calamorro, it's like my home. I think that it's the East Valencia in Spain, so it's a dry terrain, but there are rocks, but it's not a big rocks, but there are a lot of rocks in the terrain that you have to pay attention when you run.
And on La Palma, was it like a little less rocky or was it looser? Like the rocks were more loose.
I think that it's very different. The two are technicals, but the terrain is very, very different. Yeah, it's I don't know how to explain.
No,
That's
I
all
was
right.
just thinking how like much this is a trail runner conversation when we're really getting into the nitty-gritty about rocks. Like, are they loose rocks or are they sticky rocks? Are they this size or small size? But no, I think I get what you're saying. It's very it's probably like a lot of sandstone. So it can be grippy a little bit sometimes, but most of the time if it has a little bit of dirt on it, it can be quite slippery. Is it that sort of terrain?
Not the slippery. Slippery is most in acantilados because
Okay.
it, yeah.
Cool. Nice. Sarah, you've done a couple Skyrunner races as well. Would you recommend Calamoro to runners looking to check out the series?
Yes, it's really interesting race that with three big climbs that normally the races have one or two climbs, and for being 26 kilometers race, it have a lot of vertical gain, and it's a race that you can push all the time hard because the climbs, except the first one, you can run or try to run, and then in the downhill it's like Julia said, you need to pay attention in all the time because there is a lot of sand, a lot of rocky that if you go really fast you can twist your ankle in any moment. So it was interesting. And you can do a lot of strategy because there is like three climbs and three downhills.
I loved on the live stream because there's those three big climbs, three big downhills, but then there's that last tiny little climb that's like 500 feet, and everybody, like you guys all looked like you were hurting so bad on that last little climb. So tell us a little bit about that.
Bueno, 2 years ago when I went, they told me that there were three climbs. And then when I arrived there, it was like another climb because it's 150 elevation gain. That is something, it's not flat. So this year I was taking it in account in the last downhill that there is another 15, 20 minutes go to the finish line and you need to push a little bit more.
It reminded me of that the last little hill, because I know you guys all three ran this course at Mammoth Trail Fest. There was like you guys bombed down that hill forever, and then there was that last little climb before you like went back onto the kind of flatter section. And I don't know about you guys, but I walked that.
Yeah, those last little climbs are always the hardest. Like
Yeah.
you would have run like so much vert, and then to hit just what would be considered a hill or a bump is never fun. Before we get into the actual race day, we wanted to dive into your guys's training. For both of you, we'll start with you, Julia, first. How do you prepare for a race like Calamaro? Like, what training is most effective? And this is from Marija Kostic, actually, online submitted this question.
I did a preparation that I ran in Anacandilados with of a really preparation of trail. So because I did a half marathon, and then Acantilados, I go to a training camp in altitude, and I did 22 years in altitude, and I trained very, very good in Sierra Nevada. It's in the south of Spain. I did two training camps in altitude the last year, and they were very well, and I feel really how I say, I feel really
The benefit.
effects of the altitude in my performance. So I repeat this year, in the first days before the Spanish Championship. I go to the after the Spanish Championship, I come when I go to the top to Sierra Nevada. I did easy days in altitude, and then I did 20 days with a very good training, uphills, long uphills, because Calamorro, it's a race with a very how I say, it's a race with a lot of altitude, so I train a lot the uphills for this race. Yeah.
Sarah, what about you? Oh, you go, Danny.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, you ran 1:16 in your half marathon. Like, that's a great time. So to have that in your training along with altitude training, you could just tell that you're ready for the strength and the speed. So that's really cool. We just had Francesco Puppi on. He's an Italian mountain runner that a lot of people are familiar with. And we're also talking about altitude training and altitude stints and how to time them well, and how different athletes have different responses to it. So it's really cool to hear that it's working for you. Sarah,
Yeah.
how is your training?
You're on mute, Sarah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't do a specific training for this race because I decided 1 week ago that I was going to the race. So my trainings were like an for any race, like I normally do, like a speed season, interval season on flat, and then long races in the trail running. This year, after the injury of the year before, I am doing 2 3 seasons of cycling or elliptical working for doing less running in my week. And yes, the training were looking good. I was doing a big weeks of training in running, not any specific season, but after the injury and when since I started running in December the pre-season, I have doing all the weeks normal with any problem and not racing, so all the weeks were training, so doing like a lot of training, not any specific session, but just not racing, not traveling or whatever, have worked well for me.
Yeah, I mean, different approaches, they both seem to work, but obviously the key is to show up healthy and feeling confident for both of you. And I know, Sarah, like you've been doing a lot of races, it seems, in the last couple of weekends, and so, or really like the last couple of months. And so then you're not doing specific sessions, but you're still racing yourself into some pretty good fitness there.
Yes, and the week before Calamorro, I did a race, an uphill race in the road that I did in 2021, and I was feeling ready for the race. I was thinking that I am strong, but I didn't do any specific trail race in the year, so maybe this speed of race I don't have, but I was confident and I started the race thinking that I wanna try to win.
Yeah. Well, we know when you line up, that is always the goal, which is awesome. I just think it's really cool that both of you had a road race, like leading into a technical sky race. Yes, Sarah, yours was uphill, but it's still on the roads. And then Julia, you had again like an incredible half marathon. So I just wanted to point that out to people that I think this sport is changing where you do have to continue to have that speed. And I mean, you guys were out there for roughly 3 hours, basically almost on the dot, both of you. And I'm sure at least watching you trade places, like you both put in some really good surges. And I'm sure that road work and that intensity definitely worked out to help with that. This is a question from Sylvia, who is very common on the Golden Trail World Series scene. And she's been in some Skyrunner races as well. She wanted to ask you, what is your most common intensity workout? Julia, you go first.
My common. I don't know my common, but I try to do a 1 day of flat, and then 1 day in uphill or two of intensity. I don't know the common, but I like to combinar. I
Combine.
like combine
Combine.
the flat and uphill because I think that. How do you say it's very important, the two things for being competitive in the race, in the international race.
I know that Sylvia occasionally trains with that training group up in Norway with Killian Jornett, and that's like a classic Killian workout, is like the flat intensity back to the, hill intensity and then back down to flat intensity. So, yeah, I mean, it works.
Yeah. This is a I say not in the same seance
Back
in
to
two,
back days.
yeah, but yes, it's interesting to do in the it depends of the race that you prepare, but it's interesting to do in the same too, yeah, and it's very I really like this type of training.
That's cool. And you, Sarah?
For me too, I do 2 days, interval intensity days, one on flat that normally is intervals of between 1 kilometer to 4 kilometers, like 8 times 1 kilometer or like this. Normally now is my shorter intervals, 1,000. And then I also do another day of hills day, like I do reps of 3 or 4 minutes in the uphill. So yes, the same of Julia. I don't normally combine like Killian do. When I do uphill, I do uphill, and when I do up flat, I do flat. But I can try to combine them. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to do this year the double intensity in the same day. And in the morning in Sierra Nevada, I did 2 days. In the morning, I did a fartlek in uphill, 2 or 3 minutes fast, 1 minute easy, all uphill. And then in the afternoon, 400, 12 or 15, 400, but not easy, but at the pace of
Threshold,
the
threshold.
marathon or a bit faster. Yeah.
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 And
It's
that workout was flat. The 400s.
sorry.
Were the 400s flat?
Yeah. 400 plus.
Dang. That's like, yeah, double threshold days or workout days. This is really exciting for me because I feel, yeah, the sport is evolving, which I don't know for you, MK. Like, this is just like really exciting for me to hear that everyone is starting to incorporate flat stuff because I feel that this is going to be an oversimplification, but I feel that the European athletes have been historically very vert focused and like uphill focused, and American athletes like to do flatter stuff because a lot of them come from running backgrounds like track and cross country and stuff. And like the two worlds are learning from each other and like really starting to pull those aspects of training. And I'm starting to hear more than now. I also have been a big fan of like flat and vert since like pretty much I began, but thanks to my coach. But I'm hearing now more that people are training like you too, where it's like now today's flat, now today is uphill. And Again, these two women just crushed it at a super vert technical sky race, and they're doing flat workouts. So I just think that's incredible.
Well, I think that me and Julia, both of us, we come from an athletic background. So I think
that's
both
true,
of us,
yeah.
we like the flat, that normally not a lot of trail running like the flat, but I like it. I like to do intervals in the flat. It's not a problem for me.
Yeah, that's so true. I forget that you both have that background also. I think it's like a good, what's it called, check-in to see how your fitness is coming along, maybe, for both of you, to know that you can do, say, 12 400s at such and such pace, Julia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you like the flat workouts because you can see the times and know what that means.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but my background is not the athletic. No problem. I start in trail running, but I start too with any race in flat. But yeah, but I like it when I start with flat. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Do either of you have coaches?
Yeah.
Yes.
How long have you guys been working with your coaches?
Since I started trail running, I have another coach before, but when I started trail running, I changed my workout, everything. So I start with another coach. And 4 years or 5 years in a row with the same coach.
For me, since 1 year and a half. Before, I was with a coach, but coach, athletics coach. So I decided to change for be with a coach that be more in contact with the trail and yeah.
That makes sense.
So to wrap up kind of like this training section before we get to, you know, the more exciting part for a lot of people talking about race day and how that went for both of you. A question for each of you. Sarah first. Did you change anything in your training from the last time you raced in Kalamurina? And you kind of touched upon this, but just to kind of like summarize what your journey has been since the last time you raced this this course.
Bueno, I think in 2022, I was going to run every day, like not another sports. And now I combine with elliptical and cycling. But then the run workout is more or less the same. I think that interval session, uphill session, long run in the trails. But the easy runs I change for and post cycling or elliptical, but all of them I think quite the same.
And Julia, what did you do between Acantilados del Norte and this race to kind of prepare?
I train because in Sierra Nevada, because yeah. When I went to Acantilados, I didn't in shape for this type of race with a lot of altitude. So I come to train flat and I did a lot of things of uphill. So I go to Acantilados and then I come back to, I go to altitude and I train a lot in Sierra Nevada. A lot of uphills that it's, if I train more in flat in winter and then I did a progression to the trail. So more elevation, I did more elevation in Sierra Nevada and more hours in the mountain.
And I mean, you could tell like, you from Encantilados del Norte to Kalamuro, like just popped
yeah.
off.
I want to run in Kalamuro too for see the difference. It was very exciting the day before for see how the training it was in Sierra Nevada, because I know it that I improve a lot, but if you need the race and seeing the race. And it was very, very nice to see that all the world I don't know who I'd
Just
say.
pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great feeling. Cool. Well, let's transition to race day. Let's start with the plans themselves, right? So I'm sure you both learned that there was a course record bonus. Maybe the goal was already to try and win, and that was just like an extra incentive. But preparing for the race, did you both have a nutrition plan? We had several questions asking how much you were eating throughout the entire race. So Julie, you want to go first?
Okay, for me, I use the snack products, the drink, energy drink, that it's 70 carbs of for bottle, and I take 2 bottles, and then I take prototype gels, then they had 30 carbs for gel. So I calculate and I take it in total 85 grams, and that it's a lot for me.
Each hour, 85 grams each hour.
Nice. 50 grams in a gel thing. That's
No,
nice.
30 in a gel.
30, yeah.
Oh, 30. Okay, I was like, how did they get 50
Sorry.
grams? That is
Oh, no.
impressive.
Yeah,
30.
crazy.
Okay, nice. What about you, Sarah?
I also have in the bottles from prototype of Bau that is not now, and then I take another gels. But after 2 hours, I am not used to running the afternoon, so my stomach was totally bad for the warm and for the hour. So I think I take like 40 or 50 grams the first hour, the second hour, and the third hour. I didn't take any water or nothing. I think there is a video that I go to the aid station. I don't take nothing because it was really painful, and I arrived to the finish line like really painful and really need to water because I think maybe you should take something. But in this moment, I was like, if I take something more, I will stop. So I think maybe before the race, I should do any big season in the afternoon, but I didn't do. But finally, it worked well. But for the next race, I think there is any race that you run in the afternoon or as long race as this. Maybe I did the Sue Golden Trail series, that is the prologue, but it's just 40 minutes or something like this. So for the next one, maybe I should train to eat and to do a lot of hours in the afternoon. And my strategy that you say of hours or a course record, in my mind, I think I say that it was really difficult for me doing the record because in 2022 I was feeling really strong. So in my mind, I wanted to win, but I wasn't thinking in the course record. And Oyana started really fast, and I tried to follow her. Not really close, but at least to see her. And then I never train with a lot of climb or vertical gain, so I have put the auto stop in the watch, and in the first climb that you need to walk, my stop with my watch stop. So I didn't know the time of the record in my watch because during 2 or 3 minutes I didn't know my watch was stopped. So in my mind was just to run and then just to try to follow Julia. And then I didn't know the record until I was there in the
Well,
finish
my college coach used to always tell us, race and the times will come. Because like especially as an 18-year-old, you get caught up in like, oh well, I want to run this time in the 5K. And he's like, no, we want to win races. And then we can worry about running those times, like they'll just happen. But Julia, I'm curious, what was your race strategy going into Kalamoro?
Yeah, it was my first time, so I see the timings of Sarah, of record of Sarah in the Strava, because I really like see the timings of the race, and I write the timing in my here. For sea, but for now, what time? If I for the first part of the race, because how Sarah say, Oyana starts very fast, and me, I was in the timing. I arrive at Calamorro in the timing, and I say, okay, I'm in the timing. I don't know if well, I thought that Oyana started very fast and then she slowed it. So, but I asked about Sara, not about Oyana in the Calamorro. How many times Sara, but not for Oyana. And then in the uphill, in the second uphill, I see her, and I see in my timings that in the second uphill we was 1 minute less of record. But then of this, I didn't see the timings. I tried to win the race, but it wasn't possible for me. But I tried it in the third uphill. I think that I did a change of I changed in the third uphill, and I take 10, 15 seconds, I don't know how many, but Sarah take me another time, and it was like, whoa, she's another time here. And then I thought in the downhill, I tried to go alone, but it was impossible.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that you write the times on your wrist to kind of give you an idea, especially for your first time being there, and just kind of like checking in with yourself of how the timing is going. So it sounds like you saw Sarah going into the second uphill. Is that correct?
I start going uphill in the second climb, and I was alone, and I was like, wow, it's being easy, being first. And then I look out back, and it was Julia there, and I say, ah, it wasn't be
You're like,
easy.
I thought I was done.
And then I say, okay, it's better slow a little bit and keep energy to go with her. So I take calm. And she passed me, but my strategy was going with her, and then I was trying to pass her to give her a little bit of, I don't know, relevo in English.
Relay.
Yes, I wanted to give her relay, but she just want to lead the race, so I keep her going. And in the third climb, that my stomach was going really painful, she started pushing hard, and I wasn't able to catch her. So I think she take me 30 seconds or something like this that she heard say. But suddenly I say, okay, Sarah, you are doing good race and you are doing great time. So try to be there and doing a good race, being second. That being the first race, it will be super good. But then I take her again, and it was like, wow, it's good that they had that. I take her because this means that the race is not over. And then I see the second downhill that she was pushing hard in the downhill. Maybe it was better than me in the technical terrain. So I say, oh, this is the more difficult downhill, and I want to go after her to see how it's going. And then she falls. And I passed her, and I was thinking, I don't want to win the race because she falls, but I suddenly see that she was going fast again and passing me really fast. So I say, okay, she's okay, she's not being painful or something like this. And then in the last part that is more runnable, I really like these parts that you can run. And it's the moment that I take a little time and I win the race, but I was thinking that it was over in the third climb.
Julia, I'm curious, like, were the moves that you were making intentional, or like, were you just like, was that your plan going into the race, or did it just happen while you were out there?
I did intentional, but I planning in the race, because I see that I had energy for pushing the uphill. So I thought that if I arrive in the top in the third uphill, I could down alone, and it's very easy if you down before another person. So The planning was that take a gap and then down alone, but it was impossible. And then in the last part that I really like a lot, the run I ball, but I was without energy. I don't know if it was for my my third uphill and then for Katsara again. So yeah, but it was intentionality. Yeah, intentionality.
And you fell pretty hard, it looked like, coming off of the third climb. Yeah. But like Sarah said, like, we were like, oh no, that's it for Julia. But then you came back again. And so you guys were relentless.
I don't know how she catch me again, because I really push and then I see the gap. I say, okay, now it's okay. But I think that I did the change very soon. So it was a long uphill. It was 22 minutes, so it was long.
Yeah, I could imagine this race being very difficult, especially when you're racing someone so closely, where you're pushing really hard uphill, and then you almost immediately have to switch your brain to technical downhill to run straight down. And so on that third climb, Julia, when you were pushing up and you said you got a little tired coming off of the back end, at what point did Sarah, you catch up again?
I didn't know it.
Yes, it was like 24 minutes uphill and she started pushing hard in the beginning. So I think after 15 minutes or something like this, I see her again, and the last 5-10 minutes, I take her. And in this moment, I was telling her that she wasn't super powerful. So I say, okay, neither me. I will try to be after her again and have a little bit of breath, because in the downhill, she will push again, as she was going easier in the technical terrain. And the last downhill was the most difficult one.
And so I'm curious then, this might be a funny question for you guys, but Fran Neri asked us, who was better on the downhills and the uphills? Julia, why don't you go first?
I don't know. I think that it depends on the day. I'm consider that I'm better in downhill, but I don't know, because uphill you can train a lot and you can improve. But I don't know. I ran with Sarah in the race and I was thinking, wow, it's very difficult to do a change, because we ran very similar. We really like the fast section. We really like the uphill run I ball, not the uphill very hard. So I don't know.
Yes, just the dinner before the race, yeah. We were speaking like in the Golden Tate Series final, that there is segment of climb down or sprint. I was like, I am not good in uphill, or I am neither specifically in downhill or in sprint, but I am a little bit good in everything. And Julia say, I think the same. So I was like, we are really similar in this type of race, that we are not specifically in the uphill or in the downhill or in the runnable section. And then I was thinking in the race, oh, she's really good in technical terrain, but then I see that the last downhill in 2022 that I did alone, I did in the same pace. I was like, okay, maybe it was the same. So in my mind, I was like, if I need to attack, I don't know where, because we are really similar.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking about in the last section in the renewable part, that if we arrive in this part, who wins is that it's he have more energy. No.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking it will be another sprint.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you were both thinking that same thing during the race, yeah, it sounds like you were both evenly matched. And I mean, kudos to both of you, because neither of you backed down. Like, you responded to each move. Julia would move. Sarah, maybe you thought she would break away, but then you'd catch her again. And then Sarah started moving on the downhill. Julia, you'd catch her again. And from a viewer watching it, that's exactly what it looked like. Like, neither of you are backing down, which I love, because sometimes in battles, one person can get a little intimidated and they'll slow down because it scares them to like go head to head. Like it's almost more comfortable to be in a group or a pack because it's not just one on one, mano a mano. So yeah, you guys are both incredibly brave and badass for going head to
Yes.
head for that long. Julia, this part stressed me out, and it also stressed Rachel Drake out, who is an incredible mountain runner. But you dropped your bottle at one point and you went back for it. And I'm just curious about that thought process to go and grab your bottle again. And then, Sarah, did you realize that she dropped her bottle? So, Julia, you go first.
Yeah, I fall and then I go up to take my bottle because it was more, I need to drink and it was
Mandatory, Queen
mandatory
Mead.
equipment. So I go up to take. Yeah, it was for
It
yeah,
was
it was for
mandatory.
drink and for that. Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
so you had to
But
go
it was
get
very fast. I don't know how I reaction so fast for know that my bottle fall. My bottle it was in the path too.
floor.
So
Yeah, because you noticed like pretty much immediately.
Yeah,
So
and the
that's good.
camera sees me. Because I was, whoa, my head, I was like that. And the camera says me, no, you are okay, you are okay. Okay.
You're like, yeah, okay, I guess I'm fine.
I hear her that she ha say head, and I say that she was up, and then suddenly she was going back,
Yeah.
and I didn't understand what was she doing, and I say, okay, we are, I a little bit going a little bit slower that to wait her, but then she passed me really fast, but I intentionally go a little bit slower because I was like, I don't want to win the race like this. But she then passed me again. And then, like she say, the race finished because the one that have more energy, not more.
Yep. That's it's always scary when you're near somebody who's like fallen and you like gotta kind of check on them, but also you are still racing. And I like that happened several times at Worlds, I feel like in the beginning where I kept passing a bunch of dudes who had gone out way too hard and like had fallen, and you're like, do I check on you? Do I keep going? Like, but
Necessary.
it was great to watch you guys do that. And then so I guess last question about the race. What was the most difficult part of this race for each of you? Sarah, you can go first.
For me, it was the third climb when she went, that I was thinking that the race was over, and then to catch her again. Okay, of course, the last uphill, like a small one, that I have like 10 meters of difference, or like this. It was like just 10 minutes more, and I arrived completely destroyed to the finish line without water, neither. And the last 1 2 minutes, I was suffering a lot, but it was like you have 1 minute to up and you have the finish line. But the third climb, I was totally destroyed, and she was pushing really hard.
For me,
I was just gonna say, sorry, Julia. I was just gonna say that's always hard when you feel like you just made a big move and then someone comes back and you're like, I thought you were done, and then they keep showing up. So that is a very hard part. Okay, sorry,
Yes.
go ahead, Julia.
For me, the last part, because I felt that I was without energy for follow Sarah, and it was like more mentally more suffering mentally because I say oh, so it's impossible to catch her and it was like okay I will arrive second but it was I didn't suffer a lot. I suffered more in the third climb I think, but I think that it was like okay I couldn't more and yeah the last part. The fourth climb, yeah.
Yeah, the one that was 150 meters or like 500 feet that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Sarah, when did you kind of know that you had won the race?
Well, in the last aid station that I have 10 seconds, and I was like feeling a little bit better, and I see that when I passed her, she didn't go after me, and all the time before that I was trying to pass her, she was all the time attacking me. So when I passed her and she didn't attack, I say that she was tired and I will win, but I wasn't really sure. And all the time I think that in the life, I see that I am in the road and I was looking back because I was like, the race don't finish until you arrive to the finish line.
Yeah, that can be extremely stressful, especially when you've been battling the rest of the time or the entire second half of the race, pretty much. Julia, in our opinion, like, this was like next level performance. Like, you've had a lot of great performances, like at Ultra Pyrénées, as well as at some like Golden Trail races, but you were also like right at this course record. You were battling with Sarah the entire time. And so we're curious, like, what are you taking from this race with you to the rest of the season?
Sorry, I don't understand the question. That about,
like, what lessons or
what did
maybe
you learn?
What did you learn? Like, what are you proud of that you'll apply to the rest of your races this season?
Okay. When Sarah says me that she come to run, I was very happy because I say, okay, it's very nice to compare how we finished the year in Golfo di Sola in the final of Golden and how we start this year. And I think that we learn a lot because it was 1 hour and a half of a lot of decisions for try to win the race. And I think that when you are in this situation, you learn a lot for the next race.
No, pero te ha preguntado qué sacas de tu performance. Si crees que has pasado un siguiente nivel, que has hecho buenos resultados en Ultra Pirineo o así.
Okay, sorry. I understand another question.
It was still a good answer, but you can answer more.
Okay. I think that I am training very well the last year because I changed of coach. So I think that you train in the moment, it's not that you have in the moment. So I think that it's all the process, not the past month, because the past month I trained good, but I don't did things that I don't did in the past year. So I think that, yes, I'm improving a lot because I'm very focused in, well, I'm more focused in training and doing rest, in eat well, in the psychology too. I think that I have I don't know, improvement like a runner, and we will see this year.
Yeah, I think that's really important to always emphasize for people, is that, you know, you had this incredible performance along with Sarah, but it isn't just what you guys did the last month or the last 2 months. It's what you've done the last 12 months, 16 months. And so for you, doing altitude, having a new coach, more focus on psychology and nutrition and stuff, like, that's all paid off. And then for you, Sarah, like, applying cross training and like learning a new way of training for you, or relearning, that's all paid off too, that you are better even with like this new style of training. So just know, for everyone, like, this battle was incredible, but it did not come without the cost of a lot of hard work by both of these incredible women. So huge kudos to both of you guys again. What just like a badass performance, and like, I am so stoked, and MK is so stoked how much attention this is getting, because it does need to be elevated so people can see like where the sport is going, but also just between like two incredibly strong women. Last but not least, this is the last question we have, is what do you guys have next on your calendar? Sarah, go ahead.
Bueno, both of us, next Monday, we go to Asia to the Golden Trail Series 2025. to both of the races, to Kobe and China. And after that, I will go to Zegama.
And for me, yeah, I have this year, my objectives, they are OCC in August, and then sky running and golden. I will try to do the two circuits, but very focused in OCC and the final of sky running because it's in my home.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you guys are both going to Kobe next. So that's next weekend, which is kind of crazy that that's happening already.
another battle.
Yeah.
And then that one is like pretty technical from what we've heard. It starts on like a massive downhill and then there's a lot of ups and downs. So you guys are like pretty prepared from this Kalamoto Sky Race.
Yes, I think it will be really technical because it's the same elevation game of Kalamoro, but with 5 kilometers less. So the uphills and the downhill, it will be really birds.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah, have fun with that. but
thank you.
Yeah, good luck to both of you. We're excited to follow you guys for the rest of the season. And thanks again for coming on kind of last minute. Danny and I watched the live stream this weekend and we were like, we have to get these two on. That was such a good race. And we talk all the time about like in trail running, it's just kind of a different world. Like I feel like not often would you get two people who have just competed against each other on a podcast to talk about a race. Like, thank you guys for being willing to come on and talk about like racing each other instead of just like just talking to Sarah because she won the race, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, we'll see you guys in Japan.
Yeah. You come to Japan?
No.
We'll watch you in Japan, but we're excited to cheer you both on and see how this translates over. So yeah, thank you, Julia. Thanks, Sarah. And again, this has been the SubHub podcast brought to you by Free Trail.
Thank you.